This is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction Show. Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with my co-host, Yuona June Thiessen, and a couple more Thiessens joining us today. My brother Mark and my wife Louise. This is a Thiessen-a-thon. And today we're going to talk about the law of attraction as it relates to music. Because last week we did movies, so we're going to do music now. And that seems like a natural kind of a segue because, I mean, music is part of the movies, sort of, you know.
Well, it's also been part of our growing up.
Yep. Big part of everybody's lives.
Exactly. You cannot escape it.
So let's start with the simplest question of all. What's your favorite LOA song or symphony piece or whatever? And we'll start with our newest guest, Louise. What do you think, Louise?
Right now, it's Happy. That song, as so many of us know, just really took off. And I was one of the people affected by it. The upbeat tune, the message, the video. I mean, I don't think I really was hooked by it until the video and saw those different people dancing to it. And just, it was an everyman song, and that video proved it. And when I'm having a rough day or just want to feel good, I'll put it on and listen to it and just get myself feeling better.
Well, that's why it's our theme song for the show, so that just continues your theme. Yuona, what's your favorite LOA music?
Before I say that, I want to just comment on the artist behind Happy and how he's been lauded as the genius for having created such a popular, catchy tune. And, you know, it kind of speaks to, of course, he's a creative genius. You know, I'm familiar with some of his other songs, but it also kind of shows the need in the music industry for more upbeat, positive songs.
Mm.
But like Louise, my song changes from day to day or from week to week. But I like in particular a song, you guys may not know it, but it's by Mary J. Blige, and it's called Just Fine. And in that song, you know, the video is a very catchy song, and you can dance to it, which I do, and you can, you know, get your brush or comb in the mirror and kind of sing about your life is just fine, and you like what you see when you're looking at me and when I'm walking past the mirror, that kind of thing. It's really, really great song. I like that song a lot. And, of course, The Feeling Good by Nina Simone is a close second.
Isn't it amazing when you have songs that actually have no major drama going on?
I know, right?
Mark,
nobody's
what's your favorite?
Left anybody or cheated on them whatever else. And I think a lot of people thought, oh, those kinds of songs wouldn't sell. And Pharrell proved that they do, and by, you know, the hundreds and thousands.
Interestingly enough, Pharrell Williams, the first time his song got released, it didn't sell, which is really fascinating. In fact, it barely caught any notice at all. The only reason that it really started to catch notice was because it got included in the I can't remember what the name of the movie was. But there was a movie it was included in as a theme song, and that's when it took off. So I guess it didn't have enough publicity or something, but the first time around, nobody paid any attention to it.
Okay. Because I thought that part of its popularity came when he allowed people all over the world to record themselves dancing and singing to the song, to make their own videos for the song kind of thing. And there are hundreds of videos on YouTube from different countries and cultures all singing and dancing along to the song. So I'm not sure which one came first.
I think that happened afterwards because what I saw was he was on Oprah, and she showed him that, and that was after his success, and it brought him to tears because he had not set out to make, you know, this incredible song that would go viral. He was a song he liked, and he made it, and he was glad that, you know, it did well. But to see so many people paying tribute to it, he was in tears on her show. And my recollection is that came out after his popularity. But just when it hit, I'm not sure if it was, you said it was with the movie, you know, I believe that. And I think, again, with the video, the combination of the music and the video, and I think the video's appeal was that it was the man on the street dancing to the song and lip-syncing to the song. It was a variety of people. It wasn't, from what we could tell, you know, professional dancers. There were a few, if you watch for it, there were a few famous people in the video, but you had to watch for them. And it caught my attention and wanted to watch again, because it was like, oh, wait a minute, was that Shaquille O'Neal? Was that so-and-so? I got to watch that again to see if that really was.
It certainly got a lot of worldwide attention, and I think that probably helped get it even more attention, the fact that people from so many countries, including countries you might not expect, were included in the list. But Muslim countries actually had people involved, which is really something. You know, the Far East had people involved. It was truly worldwide.
Yeah, and since then, lots of people have covered the song, and I mean, all kinds of artists, and even you know, just purely instrumental versions. There are, you know, there's different languages are singing the song. It's, you know, people sing it a cappella. There are jazz versions, there's gospel versions. There are a number of different covers. So yeah, the song really does have a very, very large appeal.
I think there is a segment of the population that's tired of being depressed and tired of being afraid. And they are abundantly glad when there's something like this song, Happy, that comes out that makes them feel good. You know, just listening to it and watching the video or singing along and dancing. I know that they've shown pictures of people in their cars. You can tell what they're lip-syncing to. I think it was one day I drove up to the drive-thru at the bank, and the girls in the bank were lip-syncing it, and I just commented on it. Because it makes people feel good and makes them feel happy when they sing along,
yes,
and when they hear
yes,
it. And people need to feed their spirit, and they're finding ways.
So, Mark, let's bring you into this. What's your favorite song, or is your favorite song also Happy?
That's certainly up there. I love that song. I definitely enjoy that. I was trying to think quickly. I didn't prepare very well, but so many of my favorite songs came from my teenage years, like so many of us, because we're so affected during those years. Well, of course, a lot of the pop songs of the time, but also one that was sort of a flash in the pan for a bit and became so famous for a while that people got sick of it was Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Oh, yeah.
But that's still one of my favorites after all these years.
Bobby McFerrin still gets a lot of play after all these years, too.
Yeah, it does.
I suppose so, yeah. Not as often, but yeah, I do hear that still.
Yeah, that was almost the original Happy song right there. Although there were some other contemporary songs to it that were pretty happy. One that comes to mind is Kool & the Gang, Celebration. I mean, that was a very, very, very upbeat song.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And tell them how you've used that song, Walt.
Oh, I've used it numerous times as a way just to pick myself up if I'm in a funk or something, put the music on and dance around a bit. It's very effective.
That is the power of music, because, you know, Law of Attraction is about intentional creation based on our thoughts and our feelings, but at the bottom of all of that are our vibrations. And so music is one of those ways that you know, a lot of people in the music industry know that they can affect the vibration of the listener by creating certain rhythms. And so music is, you know, one of the most powerful ways to alter your vibration.
Interesting that you use the word vibration, because, of course, sound is all about vibration. It's
right.
Vibration within the airwaves. And so here we have kind of a double entendre, if you will. It's sort of a punish kind of thing, that you have the spiritual vibration and you have the physical vibration, and the two work together to produce, well, the optimum in law of attraction.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and it just kind of brings to mind the fact that whether it's conscious or not, you know, we're all practicing LOA, or law of attraction.
Yeah, some of us practice it positively, others practice it negatively, but we all practice.
We all do. We all do. And especially, you know, going back to like Pharrell and people in the music industry, they are aware of that. They understand that more so than the average person. And they know the power of the songs. At least most of them are aware of the power of the songs and the vibration, the words that they're sending out, and you know, the effect that they're hoping that it can have on people. And that's why so many people have, you know, enjoyed hearing that song because of how it makes them feel. And so many people want to feel happy, and when they listen to that song, that's exactly what happens. Their vibration actually is elevated just by listening, and it could even be more elevated when you sing the song, and then even more so when you sing and dance to the song.
That's true. One thing also that comes to my mind, as the whole law of attraction phenomenon gains more and more traction among the population, I think it's fair to say it's still very much a minority in the overall population, but nevertheless, it's growing. As mm-hmm. that grows, I wonder if that will at some point, I know at some point it will, I wonder how soon it will translate into the music industry reacting by putting out more positive music. Because the music industry basically puts out what people want to buy.
Right,
and, you know, especially for the last 50 years or so, most of that music has been very depressed because, well, the population are depressed. So it's like, hey, yeah, that sounds just like me. But now that this whole positive LOA thing is happening, I'm wondering if that tide is going to change. What do you guys think?
Definitely. I think it will change. I mean, it's already changed for us as individuals in terms of the kind of music that we're drawn to. You know, not once you become aware of how music affects you and your response to the music, you know, I know for me, I've been making a conscious effort to avoid certain music and you know, gravitate towards a more positive type of music. And I know more and more that's happening for more people. And so that type of music, of course, is going to get more popular. And it's the same with the movies, hopefully, you know, that better, more feel-good movies are going to gain popularity. And so they won't feel that they have to make something that scares people or makes them sad in order to make money, and they can make the other kind of music and movies, and people will actually go out to see it in millions
and pay the money for it, which is ultimately what they're trying to do.
Right.
Yeah, I've been having that same experience of my focus, my taste in music gradually changing, as well as at the same time my determination to only listen to those songs that make me feel happier, instead of bringing me down, or even more specifically to music that elicits, I can't even think of how to say it.
That raises your vibration, basically.
Right, but avoiding the music that doesn't raise my vibration. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. But I wanted to express that lately it has been gospel music, specifically black gospel music, that I've been gravitating toward. Because my path was back in the 70s, I loved the pop music back then, much of which was largely influenced by black gospel music. And then you fast forward 30 years or so.
He doesn't want to tell you how long it's been.
And I met my wife, Ilona, 2 years ago, and at that point I had never been to a black church service before. But since then, of course, I've been to quite a few. I think the first one was one celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was delightfully surprised and amazed to hear authentic black gospel music as being just like you see in the movies. And and I was like, wow, it does exist. This is amazing. And I had a great time.
They actually didn't over-dramatize it in the movies.
No, they didn't. No, sometimes it's understated in the movie.
Oh, yeah. It was a nice, it's a blend of, you know, they go from one type of music to another. So.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I think the best part for me is that you get to be involved, if that's the way to express it, because they always have places in the performance for the audience to participate, basically. And that's my favorite part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't just sit and watch.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
One of the things that you mentioned, Mark, that caught my attention was how you're only looking to listen to music that makes you feel good. And I was thinking about that not only in the context of our discussion last week when we talked about LOA and the movies, but also in terms of television and anything else that I watch, and especially music, because for me, sound is actually the strongest of my senses. I detect sound much more easily than anything else. I live constantly with music in my head almost all day long. About the only time where there is not music going on is when I'm intensely concentrating on some form of work because I need to exclude everything else. But other than that, there's almost always some kind of tune, a popular song, a symphony, something going through my head. So yeah, I totally relate to that. The idea that I only want to have positive music entering my head because I know perfectly well that's going to raise my vibration level. And when I raise my vibration level, that's when all the good things happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just for the audience, this is what Walt was saying is in his head. He doesn't have a radio on, or he doesn't have Pandora playing on his computer.
No.
This is just in his head.
And I get full orchestration. I mean, it's not like I'm just hearing the tune. I hear the entire band. I can pick out all the pieces of instrumentation. You know, if it's an orchestra, I can hear the strings, I can hear the woodwinds, I can hear the brass, I can hear the percussion, I can hear the oboes within the woodwinds. I mean, I've got that much going on in my head. Whereas visually, forget it. I am probably the worst visualizer in the world, but orally, I am fantastic. My ability to hear audio in my head is off the charts.
Huh, that's interesting. How most music composers describe that very same ability. Walt, you should explore that.
Well, I did actually play music for a good part of my life. It's just only in the last few years that I stopped. But I was a piano player, and I was a guitarist, and I played in bands, and I actually did write some music, although I wouldn't want to play any of it because it was all depressing. But nevertheless...
Well, now that you have, you know, a different perspective, you should try writing some feel-good music.
Yeah, but how do you top happy? I mean, come on, that's the best one.
But listen, we as Esther Hicks said, Abraham says through Esther, that we can all tap into Source just like Pharrell did.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Source has so many ways to express Source.
No, I agree. I was just being silly there. But,
yes.
But it was just a way of reinforcing for me, in my mind, just how powerful sound and music in particular is for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Walt and I have a joke every once in a while. It's like, nah, music hasn't had any impact.
No, never.
Not at all. And, you know, somebody will say something and boom, we're thinking of a song. And 9 times out of 10.
It's the same song.
Walt and I are thinking of the exact same song. And or there'll be something will have happened or an event or I don't know what, and I'll have a tune going through my head, and it's just I know for me from the I remember the first record player we got, my sister and I, and our first little transistor radios, and we just grew up with that. I know my parents had a hard time understanding, especially us trying to do our homework with the radio on. That was not something they could understand. But on Sundays, my dad had his classical station on, and he'd be listening to opera or classical music, and I couldn't stand that. And now, got to a point, I think I was in my 30s, I used to listen to that on the way home from work as a way to decompress and relax. And I listened to classical music frequently. And most of that is not so much to feel good, it's to just relax. I use that sort of as relaxing music.
And you also began to appreciate the different instruments in the orchestra, because starting a few years ago, you kept asking me for Christmas and so forth for oboe music. You couldn't get enough oboe music.
Oh, I love oboe music. It's evocative, and it's not always happy, but it's very mood setting kind of music, and I like that.
I think one of the appeals to music is that we spend so much time outside of our, and trying to use a more scientific term, but we spend so much time outside of our soul in the material world, and music is one of those things that kind of brings us back to the immaterial or the supernatural, and it helps us get in touch with that place, even if it's whether it's happy or sad. It just helps us feel. It helps us feel something, anything, and sometimes we have a craving for that, to feel something, because so much of our lives is spent trying to do the opposite. And so music helps us do that in a semi-safe way, and so that's why a lot of times music is so appealing, even the sad, depressing music, because then we get to feel our feelings, but not necessarily own them. We can say, oh, it's just a song, and I like that song. Or sometimes it could be that we're like, oh, yeah, I remember when I felt that way, too. And so, you know, for various reasons, we identify with, and we like certain types of music, even from day to day or from week to week, or as Louis is expressing, as you change, as you age, as you grow older, you know, your music taste changes. And the other thing with music is that it is like a drug, and that's not just an expression. It is really like a drug. Just like drugs and chemicals affect our body, music has the same effect. Music, as we were talking about vibration, our brain is an instrument of vibration, and we pick up vibration and sound, like Walt was saying, the powerful vibration. And so when we listen to music, it affects our brain so much so that it changes the vibration of our brain, and as a result, it changes the chemistry of our brain, and so it changes our body. So, you know, all of these are part of the underlying reasons, which we may not be even aware of, why we want to listen to certain types of music, why we like certain types of music, why we don't like others. You know, there's a lot of biochemistry going on when we're listening to music.
So there's a scientific side to this too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there's lots of research that involves the effect of music on the brain and the body.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, since it does have the impact of physical airwaves impacting the ear, that's going to be something that science can say a lot about. I'm not sure how much science has had to say about how it affects emotions and so forth, but I suspect they probably have investigated that too.
Right, so that's more subjective. But the more objective research is that they can actually measure your brain waves, and they can see what parts of your brain activity is affected, how it changes with the music, and they can also measure the chemicals that are being produced by your brain and your body as you listen to different types of music. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Well, listen, we're about halfway through. Let's take a break, and then after the break, let's see if we can identify some of our other favorite pieces of music, kind of compare notes and see if we can find commonalities. Does that sound good to you guys?
Sounds great.
Sure.
All right. This is LOA Today here on PRN. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to LOA Today. Walton, Yuona, and Louise and Mark on this Thursday, January the 29th, 2015, talking about the law of attraction and music and how music has played such an important role of our lives in our lives and how it can play a very positive role to help us get into that positive place where we get the most out of the law of attraction. Before the break, we were talking about some of the scientific side of it, but let's get back to the music selection, because we've touched on perhaps the greatest of the greatest hits, but there are a lot of songs out there and a lot of pieces and so forth that have very positive effects on the ear and on the emotions. One that comes to my mind is an old song by one of the members of the Beatles, George Harrison, "Here Comes the Sun." That was about the most positive song that came out of the 1960s, which was really quite remarkable. But what are some of your favorite songs? Let's see. Let's start with you, Yuona. What other songs have you enjoyed?
Well, you know, as we were going back to that, I went further back, and I was thinking about one of the first musicals that I saw, Sounds of Music, and the song in there, I think the title is The Hills Are Alive. And you cannot sing that song and not be happy. You just can't.
Well, there's also a good song in that movie for overcoming depression.
Yes.
My Favorite Things.
Wow, yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in fact, recently Mark and I were listening to that somewhere, and we thought, what a great LOA song.
Isn't that wild how you hear songs from the past, like you were saying, Bobby McFerrin's, you know, Don't Worry, Get Happy, and if you really listen to the words, they had something very important to say. Did we really listen? I know I didn't. I just liked the music. But from an LOA, a positive LOA perspective, it's like, wow, this person really knew what was, you know, what it was about. Whether they were aware they did or not. But
well, a lot of the time we turned off the words because they're usually, for most songs, they were so bad and depressing that you learned to kind of just shield yourself from them. So when you had good words come along, you said, oh, wait a minute, good lyrics? No, that can't be.
Actually, all that reminds me that all the great musicals throughout the 20th century, maybe not all of them, but so many of them had incredibly upbeat songs, you know, that you almost couldn't help but feel joyful and happy.
You want to sing and dance along.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, as you're saying that, oh, what a beautiful morning is going through my head.
Yes, yeah.
And songs of that nature that, you know, were about hope or just look at the beauty around you.
Well, plus you had to have the upbeat music in order to have the dance sequence, because the musicals always had a big dance sequence. You can't do that to, oh, I'm so depressed, woe is me.
Yeah.
Although that's not entirely true. There is one song I can think of that was all about being depressed, and it was one of the most upbeat songs I ever heard. It was a song from an old American TV show called Hee Haw. And the song was Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me.
I remember you introducing that song to me.
That raises an interesting idea that, you know, there's this idea that music actually bypasses the conscious mind, music itself, whereas the words you may tend to analyze and you may reject, it's more difficult to do that with music. And so I think even some songwriters know that, so they know that the words might say something, but if the music is communicating something completely different, that's going to be the stronger message.
And I agree with that, because I have some songs that I really like because I like the tune, but if I listen to the words, I'm like, I don't like the message, but I wish they, I wish you could rewrite the words in a more positive way, because the tune is, I love the tune.
Yeah.
And one of those songs that I listen to frequently is one by Enrique Iglesias called Bailando. And it's very upbeat, and it's got a wonderful video with dancing in it. But if you listen to the words, it's fairly sexist. And I'm not really happy with the message. But so I'll listen to it in Spanish, because then I don't know what they're saying. But I love the tune.
Yeah. You know, just like Walt, you know, he's very attuned to the melody and all the different parts. I'm a words person. I like the music and the melody, and you know, because I like rhythms and I like to dance and all that. But the words are extremely important for me too. So, you know, sometimes you know I listen to songs and I you know I hear other people saying, oh, I like that song, and I say, yeah, that's a great song, and it says so and so, and they're like, oh, it does, really?
They haven't
listened to the words, but I always listen to the words. In fact, I sometimes, you know, drive Mark crazy. I'm like, goodness, did you hear those words? That is genius songwriting right there. I really love great songwriting. So,
can you give us an example? Can you just pick one out, a song that you can think of that has lyrics that you really like?
Give me some time as the program goes on. I'll try to come up with some of them.
Well, we got about 20 minutes left.
You make a good point, Ioana. When I was preparing for the show, I was thinking of music through the, you know, like through the each decade of my life. And I was born in the mid-50s, and that a lot of that was the doo-wop and the real upbeat music. And I remember that part of my life as being very happy. The 60s, you know, up, up, and away, and but starting to segue towards the end of the 60s into Joni Mitchell, Judy Collins, James Taylor, and listening to that stuff when I was away at college, I really didn't realize how depressed they were, which is the reason I listened to it was because I was depressed. You know, it just mirrored my depression. But the music of the 80s came out, I was just overjoyed. I had made a decision at one point in the 80s to change my life and to start focusing on things that made me feel better. And the music was there to help support that. Now, if I went to the lyrics of some of those songs, I got to tell you, one of my favorite melodies is to the song, I'm Going to Harden My Heart, which is all about having been hurt, and nobody's going to hurt me again. And if I listen to those words, it's like, oh, God, no, no, no. But I love the tune and the upbeat stuff and the stuff that was good to dance to. And there are, you know, I have a hard time picking songs now from the 90s or the 2000s, except I think it may have come out in the 90s. Sorry, guys, but the Ramones, I Want to Be Sedated. I mean, what lyrics? But that song was incredible, and I love to dance to that.
I remember that. That was a fun song.
Yeah. But if you listen to the words, it's like, oh, my God.
Well, what's particularly wild about those lyrics is that that's a song that was probably a step up from where the songwriter was feeling before he wrote it. So it was actually improvement.
Oh, wow. I thought of a song that's like this. It's a song about sadness and loneliness, and it's Tears of the Clown by Tony Robinson.
Oh, yes.
It's so upbeat. It just makes you feel wonderful.
Right, but it's such a sad song. And see, I know the words, so I never liked that song. I knew what it was about. Like, I listened to it, and I thought, oh, poor thing. But, well, you know, Walt, you asked me to tell you one of my favorite songs in terms of the words. It's Hallelujah, written by Leonard Cohen. You know, it's been covered by almost everybody.
Oh, yeah.
But,
a wonderful song.
yeah, the words in that song is, I mean, without music, if you just read it as a poem, it would be absolutely beautiful. And the music just makes it even more beautiful.
Now, see, I've seen other people do that and heard similar comments about it. And unfortunately, my first hearing of that song was background to an episode of The West Wing in which I think somebody gets killed. So I have a very sad, morbid sense when I hear that music. I do not hear joy at all.
Yes. Oh,
so,
wow.
I think the context in which you hear something can certainly influence how you feel about the music.
Right, because now your emotions about that scene is tied to that song, and that's another, reinforces what we're saying, just how powerful songs are in terms of evoking certain emotions. So every time you hear that song, the emotions that you had when you saw the scenes are evoked again. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and context is everything, because one of the first times I really listened to that song was watching the movie Shrek, the original Shrek, and they played that song near the end. And it was, and of course, it's a very happy movie, so they made it a very happy version of Hallelujah.
Very, very good group.
You guys were mentioning songs from the 80s and 90s. I could think of one song that comes to my mind, particularly from the 80s, that was not only very upbeat and happy, but had happy lyrics. And that song is Walking on Sunshine.
Walking on Sunshine.
Oh, I love that song, yes.
Yeah, in fact, they use it a lot in commercials now when they're trying to evoke feelings of good, whatever it is about their product.
Mm-hmm. And it works, too.
It's like used in an ad for antidepressant,
I think. Oh. Well, that's good.
Well, you can save the money. Don't buy the antidepressant. Just buy the song and play the song.
Exactly.
The song's probably a lot cheaper. I mean, I think that you could buy the song on Amazon for like 99 cents. That would not be one dose. That would be an unlimited number of doses. So.
True, and you would not have any of the hundreds of side effects that they mentioned in that commercial.
Of course, the FDA has made no statement one way or another, but we'll skip that part.
Right. Yeah, in fact, along those same lines, certain agencies are looking into using music, like in senior citizen homes and homes for problem children. Using music as part of the therapy to help them feel better and calm them down, or even for the kids, help them to focus and concentrate and study better and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Well, I think they've done research with it, but they've had musicians come into emergency rooms and hospitals or just into onto a hospital wing to play for the patients.
Yes.
And it's had positive effects.
Yeah, definitely.
I haven't seen anything that indicates that those facilities are looking to make that a permanent part of their services. Mm-hmm.
But some hospitals have already done that.
They have, okay.
Yeah.
That's very wise on their part.
Yeah, definitely.
So music being used as a healing modality.
Yes, yes.
Is that something that we're seeing more, that you are seeing, I should ask, more and more in the scientific realm? Is there more and more emphasis among scientists doing various kinds of research, whether neurological or biological or whatever, regarding positive impacts on human beings?
Yes, because neuroscience is realizing that they cannot exclude what is called alternative medicine anymore, because the study of the brain and how it works is just so very nebulous. And now they're drawing on other cultures that have always done these things in other sources of knowledge and information that are being, you know, from whether it's Chinese or Indian research, their own studies on how they're using music and meditation and all this kind of stuff and getting great results. And so they, you know, now the Western scientists and Western neuroscientists are definitely more open and including those kinds of stuff in their research as well.
Well, what a surprise. It turns out that feeling good actually helps you feel good.
Yes, I know, right?
And you just
not
mentioned
the mind.
You just mentioned something, Ywona, that triggered something for me when you mentioned India. And the interest in Indian music. I mean, if you listen to the Bollywood kinds of music, you can't not dance to that stuff.
Right.
And there's more movies that are showing Indian scenes, especially if you watch a wedding reception. In an Indian culture, I mean, there is just incredible dancing and very upbeat music. I'm not hearing anything slow and depressing. Everybody's got smiles and their hands are in the air and their bodies are moving and they're, you know, celebrating. There's a real celebration.
Yeah. You know, that, you know, it's interesting that you would say that because, for a lot of cultures outside of America and outside of the Western world, music is so much a part of everyday life. It's not just something that you do, like, at a party. You know, I think about growing up in Trinidad, and, you know, we were heavily influenced by African as well as French and Spanish and Indian and all these different cultures all mixed together. And so even at our funerals, it used to be like a party. You know, the music was always upbeat and celebratory. You know, we have calypso music and steel pan, and it wasn't relegated to just, you know, certain types of certain like carnival. It was played all the time for everything, whether it was a birthday party or a christening or a funeral or you know, a council meeting, wherever we got together, there was music and dancing kind of thing, you know, almost, you know, looking back on it now, I thought, that makes no sense, but it happened.
Well, and just the converse here in the States, I mean, Christian religious services, even the songs that were supposed to be praising God and joyous were droll and, you know, like funeral dirges. There were very few songs that were just an outpouring of joy and positive emotion that you know, felt good to or felt your body moving to. So I'm not surprised, Mark, that, you know, you found a lot of joy in the music, in gospel music, because the African-American churches knew how to celebrate. You know, it's taken white Christian churches a long time. And, you know, I think in the 70s they started to have, what was it called? Folk, that was more folk music on like a Saturday night or something. And it was an alternative service. And I'm not a religious person, and I haven't been to church in a lot of years, so it may have changed. But back when I was going, anything that was really uplifting and joyful was a separate service, usually on a Saturday night. It was not part of the regular Sunday morning service.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's interesting that we were talking about, you know, secular music, and hopefully there's going to be a shift towards more happy, upbeat music. In a lot of the white Christian churches now, more of them are singing black gospel with some very interesting results.
Wow.
In fact, there's a very popular video of a church, a Christian church in Korea, singing gospel music. The words are Korean, and they're singing a popular gospel song. And if you didn't listen to the words carefully, you would think that you were somewhere in the deep south and you were in an African-American church. And it is absolutely amazing because, you know, without selling prejudice. Asians are great at imitating. So it was like, wow.
Well, and you're saying it's Korea, which surprises me because of what little I know of the politics there is that, you know, it's all about praising their leader, and it's very restrictive and very regimented and almost cult-like. And they're singing, I don't care even if they are singing praise to their leader, that, as we've talked before, those vibrations, singing in that way, those melodies will have an effect on their brains, which can only be positive from my perspective. And what that will mean long term, I don't know, but I think that's a great way to start loosening up from what they've been living under.
Right. I think we should qualify that this was from South Korea that she heard the music. It's North Korea that has the
oh, okay. Issue okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
That makes sense then.
You know, a moment ago, you mentioned funerals, and there's a couple of thoughts that come to my mind about that. One is the New Orleans-style funeral.
Right, exactly.
Because the New Orleans-style funeral starts off with a dirge and ends up with a celebratory, happy, gospel-type finish.
Right, yeah.
And there's a definite...
Similarly to that, yeah.
Yeah, there's a definite spiritual side to what they're doing there. They're basically celebrating the successful transition of that... You know, the beloved who died, passing on to the great beyond and to a better place and so on and so forth. One of the things that kind of music reminds me of is something that every musician and indeed every composer knows almost intuitively, but I'm not sure that the general public really pays much attention to it. In standard Western music with the standard diatonic scale, the scale, you know, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do that we all know, in that musical range of melodies, there are two different kinds of music. There are major keys and minor keys. Major keys are almost universally associated with positive feelings. Minor keys are almost universally associated with negative feelings. And usually when composers of any type, of any whether it's popular music or symphonic music or musicals or whatever, they almost always, not always, but like 90% of the time, maybe 95% of the time, they use that fact that major scales tend to have a positive evocation of feeling, whereas minor scales tend to evoke a negative type of emotion. And they use that repeatedly. So we have this very strong association in our minds of major and minor. And indeed, that's precisely what the New Orleans funeral does. It starts with a slow piece in a minor key and then shifts to a fast piece in a major key.
I think that, you know, like I believe that all this knowledge was always intuitively known some way back when, and, you know, the whole, they may not have known just how you stated the major keys and the minor keys, but they know that that when you sing this, you feel happy, and when you sing this, you don't.
Right.
Yeah, one to the other, and it amplifies the happiness by contrast.
And there's one other form of music that we haven't touched on, but it is full of upbeat music, and that is children's songs. One just came to my mind through a phrase that you used. When you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
I'm laughing because I used to sing that I used to sing that almost every day because I worked in daycare, and that was one of the songs the kids loved because they could participate with clapping their hands or patting their heads or whatever. But I've sung that for years.
And there are a lot of them, aren't there? I mean, Louise, you know, because you work with kids a lot, but there are a bunch of these songs that are very, very upbeat, very happy, very positive, no negative themes going on. You know, like the wheels on the bus go round and round. It's not like that's a terribly happy theme, but it's certainly not unhappy. And it sounds like a very happy song.
They're neutral or they're happy, yes. They aren't. Children's songs are not about depression and death and, you know, your mom might leave or whatever, or, you know, there's no milk for your bottle or anything like that.
Yeah, I can't imagine someone in daycare saying, "There's no milk for your bottle."
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there are definitely more happy songs for children than sad ones. But there are some sad ones. I remember a comedian commenting on the fact that we sing that song to our kids about the Rockabye Baby, which is really a very sad.
Oh, it's awful. That's awful.
But that's a case of not listening to the words, and it's the melody, and they hope that will lull the kids off to sleep or something, you know.
Well, from the moment that I realized that that was a very negative set of lyrics, I lost interest in the song.
Yes.
you just triggered something. Think about Happy Birthday.
Yeah.
What is happy about that song? It's a funeral dirge. Now, I love the version that Stevie Wonder wrote, and I think it was for Martin Luther King's birthday.
Yes,
and that is so upbeat, and so I don't remember all the words, but it's a celebratory song. What do brides walk down the aisle to? That song is a funeral dirge.
It is.
It doesn't just sound like one. It is a funeral dirge. So you walk into a funeral dirge and you leave the celebratory music. Well, I was having no part of that, and I think I walked down the aisle to Vivaldi's Spring.
Right.
And I don't remember what we walked out to, but I definitely was not much walking in to with a funeral dirge.
Well, listen, we're almost at the end of our allotted time slot. As much fun as it's been, it does come to a close. Let's do one round of last reactions, and we'll start with Yona. What's the last message you want to leave about this whole concept of happiness and positivity in music?
I think just that we should be more conscious of the music that we choose to listen to, because it has very powerful effects on us consciously and subconsciously, on our bodies, our brains, our minds, and our moods. And so one of the fastest ways to raise your vibration is to listen to happy music. And if you want to even get higher, dance if you must.
That sounds good. Mark, you're next. What's the message you want to leave?
Well, Wikipedia has an article on music therapy, and it lists numerous schizophrenia, amnesia, dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, mood disorders, depression, etc. Tourette syndrome, even strokes have been shown to be alleviated by music.
Music therapy, yeah.
So even from the darkest side, you can use music to bring you up back into life and then continue on into being more joyful.
A good practical tip there. I like that one. Louise, what's your last thought about music and the law of attraction?
Well, I'm going to come from my position as a retired psychotherapist and recommend that people listen to at least 10 minutes to an hour of positive music every single day. Ideally the beginning of the day, just start the day off with a positive feeling and emotions and brain chemistry to go out and make wonderful things happen every single day of their lives.
Sounds great. Well, before I tell you what mine is, I'm going to thank everybody for being here. Mark, Yona, Louise, thank you for your participation.
You're very welcome.
And my particular last thought on this whole topic is, if you're just not in a good place, you need to feel better, tune into our show and listen to our theme music, because our theme music is all about happy. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.